You know, maybe mute yourself right now as you're doing other stuff.
Thank you. amazing.
Thank you.
You feel old?
Not really. I feel old in the winter, but summer I feel like a kid.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
No, so it's capturing between the chairs. So, because when you stand in front of it, the camera lights on the side.
Thank you. I don't know. We're trying to get me to go over and bring the bread mask. I'm sure.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. My name is Andy Colomb. I'm your worship leader this morning. Let's start with some, well, first off, welcome. It's glad to be back in person. I think we'll probably be saying that for months when people are here. It's good to see everybody's faces, even though sometimes I can't see your mouths. I can tell you're smiling or frowning by your eyes a lot of times. So first announcement, and I'd like to invite anybody else who has an announcement to come on up, is that we have our annual budget meeting this afternoon at 12:30 over Zoom. There's been a link that was sent out earlier this week for you to be able to access that Zoom link, Zoom meeting. And I also encourage you to take a look at your bulletin for other announcements. You can also find the bulletin on the church website under the worship services tab. So,
good morning. So I have some really exciting news. As y'all know, last year, VBS got canceled because of the pandemic. But this year, it's going to happen. So, yay! Good news, right? Yeah! Yes! What that means is we need help. We need volunteers. So, here's the skinny. It's going to be from July 25th to the 29th, the usual Sunday through Thursday schedule. We're looking at like 6:15 to 8:15, so just a smidge shorter than normal. All the activities will be outside this year, so no then and now activities in the church. There'll be a sign-up sheet coming out in your email this week. Very easy to use. They'll have a link. It'll show you all the positions we need filled, and there'll be descriptions for each position. So for anybody who has not volunteered before and feels intimidated, there are definitely roles that you can fill that will not be overwhelming. So please feel free to jump in. And yeah, I guess that's it. I hope we have lots of volunteers. So feel free to ask questions too after the email goes out. If there's still questions that you have, you can email Joni or you can corner one of us at a Sunday service. It's Stephanie Moyer, myself, Jody Hansen, and Eliza Gant. So thank you.
So for our call to worship, we'll start with a little story. All the way back in the summer of 2001, Serenity and I took a 40-day trip around the western United States in a 1976 Volkswagen Westfalia bus. We were still newlyweds, and I had just graduated with my teaching degree. The plan was to visit national parks and monuments throughout the West. We ended up visiting 17 of them. Now, follow me, it's a little bit of stream of consciousness here, but I'm a big Star Wars fan. Seems a little divergent to what I was just talking about. The first movie I remember seeing in the theater was Empire Strikes Back in 1980. It didn't end up turning out very well for me. I ate too much popcorn and drank too much soda and ended up puking in the eye. But I loved the movie. And I'm not sure how much Serenity appreciates this, but during our travels over the years, I've occasionally called her my Chewbacca. Now follow me here. So while I'm driving, I'm the pilot. Solo, and she's the navigator, Chewbacca. We took some wrong turns on our trip. occasionally. Another kind of funny story is that the clutch of the starter went out. So we always had to park going downhill. And she would jump in, I would push it, she would pop the clutch, put it in park, jump over the passenger seat, and then away we would go. The problem then was that an auto parts store that we bought a starter from, I put it in, didn't work, but we didn't find that out until 200 miles down the road, and there weren't any more.
What are they laughing about?
Until we
their trip, when they traveled in their motorhome.
Clutch for a while there. So anyway, so we took some wrong turns. And many of these wrong turns turned into arguments. It was an interesting time getting to know one another. I'm pretty sure most of you don't know the courtship of Serenity and Andy, but I met Serenity and a month later asked her to marry me. So when we took this 40-day Volkswagen bus trip, we really barely knew each other. She had no idea exactly what she was getting into, and to be honest, neither did I. Somehow, it's worked out. I think part of the reason is how different the two of us are. Serenity has some amazing gifts, creativity, patience, kindness, and most of the gifts I have fit the areas that Serenity either doesn't like, such as spreadsheets and calendars, or doesn't have, like opening jars and getting things off the top shelf. Anyways, my point is this, and I'm pretty sure Catherine today will have a much more profound direction for this, but her sermon title today is We Have Gifts That Differ, and it fits my marriage beautifully. Anybody who has spent any time, amount of time with Serenity and I can tell you that we are very, very different. And I think it was somewhat the point the Apostle Paul was getting at in Romans 12 when he spoke about the body of believers. Us, Zion, we are different. And that's okay. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, it might even be beautiful. So for our call to worship, we're going to open up the voices together and turn to page 856. I'm going to invite Serenity up to share the mic with me during our call to worship. So 856 in the voices together. I'm going to give you a little more time because for me, I have these big sausage fingers and it takes me forever to get that tiny little paper to the right page. All right. In class, I'd be like, okay, give me a thumbs up if you're there. Okay, all right, enough time. Christ is like a single body that has many parts.
Though every part is different.
Therefore, the foot cannot say,
I am not a part of the body.
Nor can the ear say,
I am not a part of the body. The eye cannot say to the hand,
I don't need you.
Nor can the head say to the feet,
I don't need you. If one part suffers,
all parts share the pain.
If one part is praised,
all parts share the joy.
Together, we are Christ's body.
Each one of us is a part of it.
Let's stand and sing number 22. Please stand. What is this place where we are living? What we are here? Shelter in the open of the wide and open door. Let it be on top of the enemies when we are gathered here. And our God is there. Word from afar. Say upon the back, for what we give,
Within this infinite kingdom, may we mirror your faithfulness with how we use these offerings by making the most of them for your ever-advancing kingdom. Amen. I'd like to invite Catherine Jameson Pitts and Steve Bomar up.
It is good to be with you this morning. Andy, I think that what you said was probably better than anything I'm going to say, so I'll try and keep it short when it comes to the sermon. It is always wonderful to install new pastors. It's something about the beginning of a new ministry that gives us all hope and energy for what lies ahead, and I hope that that is true for you today. Sisters and brothers, we have gathered together in the presence of God and this assembly to install Steve Bomar as lead pastor of this congregation. Do you as a congregation believe that you have been guided by the Spirit of God in calling Steve to be your minister? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And in calling him to this ministry, will you uphold him in it? Will you stand by him in his calling? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Steve, do you hold to the promises you made at your baptism and ordination?
I do.
Do you believe that this calling and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Will you seek to be faithful in prayer and setting forth the scriptures and in seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
Will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation?
I will.
Will you respect and be guided by the beliefs and practices of Mennonite Church USA and the work of the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference?
I will.
Sisters and brothers, you have heard the commitment to ministry in this congregation made by Steve Bomar. Do you receive him as your minister? And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with Steve? If so, say, we will.
We will.
Let us pray together. You can join me in raising your hand in blessing for Steve as we pray. O God, you call your people to serve through the church. Bless the covenant made today between this congregation and this pastor. We thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. We thank you for the gifts that you give to each one in your body. On this day, we especially thank you for the calling to pastoral ministry and the gifts thereof. Be a source of strength to Steve, endowing him with the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bind us to one another in the bond of peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Steve, I am delighted to present you a Mennonite Church USA minister's manual. Actually, I think we're probably going to have a new one soon, so this may be. it has various rituals and the ways the Mennonite Church has done them over the last, 30 years. So look forward to your ministry here in this congregation and in the wider church as well.
Our scripture for today comes from Romans 12, 1 through 11. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord.
It is so good to be with you this morning. I have probably said something like that every time I have come to visit you in the last 9 years. But this morning, really, it is so, so good to be here. I was last here in this pulpit 15 months ago to participate in the installation of Bill Blank as your interim pastor. I remember that morning that we offered one another elbow bumps instead of handshakes. And although we didn't know much about that word, social distancing, we did try to give each other a little bit of space. Later that week, the governor issued a safer at home order. And for 15 months, I did not worship with any congregation in the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference in their sanctuary. It was going to be perfect. You were going to be the bookends to the pandemic, the last congregation I was with, and then the first congregation I was with. But I was with Western Mennonite Church last week. Yet, in some ways, that also seems perfect for this time, because nothing in the past year has worked out exactly the way we thought it might. Still, there is something very special about having been with you in March 2020 to install an interim pastor who would go on to lead through a very unprecedented, to use a word that became very popular in 2020, year. And now to be with you in participating in installing Steve Ballmark here as your settled pastor. It is good to be here. There was so much that was unprecedented this past year for the whole world, but also for you as a congregation. Your search committee had to work in new and different ways, and they did a diligent and excellent job. Your leadership had to find creative ways for the body to discern, and they did. And as a congregation, you had to trust in new ways that God was with you and God was leading you. And here we are today, together, whether in this building or still on Zoom. In a time when we are both returning to and reforming what it means to be the people of God in this place. At a time when we are coming out of some forms of isolation, but also out of new forms of community and sorting through what to keep and what to let go of. At a time when you are welcoming new pastoral leadership, but it is not altogether clear what kind of leadership the days ahead will demand. We have the opportunity for new growth, and we have the need for deep grounding. I selected the scripture passage from Romans 12 for this morning because there is no one who struggled more to understand what the church needed to be in a time of upheaval and division, what role leadership played in the life of the church, and how to live as the body of Christ together than the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Rome. It was small and persecuted. It was made up of people from different cultures, and more than that, from different religious traditions. In this letter to those believers, Paul tried to guide them toward unity and purpose. He spoke in a way to that church then that has spoken to the church many times and places during the past 2,000 years. I'm sure this passage was familiar to many of you, although you may have heard it in different sections more than as a whole. But as a whole, this passage points us toward new ways of being in precedented and unprecedented times, and roots us deeply in the love of God as the body of Christ for all time. I appeal to you, family of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern the will of God. This passage is about bodies. I know there have been other times when I've been as aware of my body as I have in the past year, probably when I was pregnant, when I was going through cancer treatment. But the awareness of my body in space was kind of a new thing. Keeping distant from people in grocery stores and on sidewalks, trying to keep it equidistant when there's more than one person around, breathing through a mask, and trying not to breathe at all when others were close. Monitoring every sniffle and cough. Could it be COVID? We are physical bodies with all their flaws and weaknesses and all their wonderfulness and strength. Life resides in our breath and our blood and our muscles and our organs. And Paul says to gather up our bodies and the life that is in them and present them to God as one sacrifice together, alive and growing. Our bodies together becoming the body, our whole selves becoming holy gods, all in response to God's amazing love for us, shown in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. This passage is about our bodies, but it's also about our minds. And our minds are not separate from our bodies. They're part of our physical being. And all the expression of our minds comes out through the actions of our bodies. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions are all part of our whole selves, embodied as God's creation. When Paul says that presenting our bodies as a sacrifice is our spiritual worship, the way the NRSV translated, others translate it as something like our reasonable worship or the worship worthy of thinking beings. So we present our bodies as the worship worthy of people with minds. We think and we act. Body and mind are intertwined into who we are, and that whole self needs to be transformed from something conformed to this world into something formed in God's image by the renewing of our minds. During this past year, not only were we confronted with the global pandemic, we were confronted with one of the many ways we have been conformed to this world, as we saw the results of racism that runs through our culture. And we heard voices calling us to reshape our minds so we could confront what has been done in our name. Being conformed is being so deeply rooted in something you can't even see it. It's being so used to swimming in it that you don't notice the water. It's not just about making bad choices or giving into temptation. It's about sinking into systems that want to claim us as their own when we have been created to be gods. And systems are tough things to change. This morning, I read a Twitter thread. The woman was reflecting on becoming someone different and needing to re-enter the world. She was reflecting widely for those of us who are coming out of times of safer at home living and concern about maintaining 6 feet from everyone around us. But she also used her own experience of coming out of a significant medical treatment. And she knew she wanted her life to be different. She knew she didn't want to go back into all of the same old patterns the way it has been that weren't healthy for her. And she thought that she could do it. And what she realized as she started coming back and trying was that the patterns, the systems, the organization, the infrastructure hadn't changed while she had. And she said, it was startling to realize that, to realize how easy it was to just slide back into how things have been, even when there had been this stunning change in her own life. It required a lot of intentionality. It required pushing and then stepping back. It required trying new things and sometimes letting them go. And it required sometimes not letting them go and stubbornly insisting that this would be different. Renewing our minds is becoming aware of the systems, the organizations, the infrastructure that surrounds us, the ways that we conform without meaning to, the demands that the world places on us, even when we think we're changed. And then renewing our minds is not just looking, but seeing, not just hearing, but understanding, not just moving, but acting, not just being a body, but becoming Christ's body. Paul goes on to write, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but think in sober judgment, according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually each of us members of one another." This passage is about bodies and minds, but it's also about Christ's body, that place that we are trying to go through the sacrifice we make together and the renewing of our minds. This is a body where evidently how we think matters. Think is used a lot in it, and one writer paraphrased it this way: "Do not overthink above what you ought to think, but think in wise thinking ways." Paul was thinking about thinking when he wrote this. And mostly he was thinking about those who think too highly of themselves. Now, who ought to think more highly of themselves? Who does think more highly of themselves than they ought? This is a tricky one for Mennonites. We like to think we are a humble people. I was with a group doing a vision process for their congregation, and I asked them to each share with their partner something that they valued about themselves. And immediately someone said, "That's going to be hard because I don't ever think about myself." Never? I have been a Mennonite long enough to know that we are a humble people, but there's a shadow side to that humility. We do think about ourselves. And sometimes it is to place ourselves as better than others, even if it is only in being the most humble. We sometimes do think about ourselves more, perhaps, than we ought. And it doesn't matter if it comes from an arrogant place or a place of false humility. Paul calls us out and says the measure of who we are is faith, no more, no less. And faith is something that God has given to us all. Faith is not something we have more or less of, like pouring milk into a measuring cup. Faith is the yardstick by which we are, which is held up to us. It's the standard itself. And faith is simply this: Jesus is Lord. So why should we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think? Because Jesus is Lord, and we are one body in him, and members in that one body together. In Christ, as members of one body, we are free of power gains and the need to be better than. We just belong to one another in faith. This is probably dating me, but I think some of you probably do remember the Oprah show, where she gave a car to everyone, and there's this video, it went an early viral video of her going, "You get a car and you get a car." Well, being members one of another, individually part of this body, is like saying, You belong, and you belong, and you belong, and you belong, and you belong. Individually, each of us make up the whole. Today, as we officially install Steve as pastor at Zion Mennonite Church, Steve and his family became part of you. They now belong to you, and you belong to them. You are members one of another, presented to God as a sacrifice and transformed by the renewing of your minds and having different functions in the body. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This passage is about gifts. This is about one body with a renewed mind, discerning God's will and sharing in a common work. Members of one body with different functions, but the same aim, all working together. The installation of a new pastor is always a good time to think about gifts, because we hope that that person called to ministry has been gifted for this work. And that is something the search committee looked for as they talked to Steve and his references. They discovered that people experienced Steve as someone who had many gifts for ministry: listening well, encouraging others, preaching from the scriptures, leading in worship, reaching out to those on the margins, thinking deeply and spiritually. These gifts will be needed as Steve functions as lead pastor here, and they will contribute to the work that God calls this congregation to do. But they aren't the only gifts that are needed in this body. You each have gifts as well. You have a gift. You have a gift. And you have a gift. And it is the coming together and using of those gifts in finding the function you've been gifted to fill that the doing the work of God will happen in this congregation. During the past year, I am sure you discovered new gifts among you, as the ways you live together and minister to your community had to change. And I encourage you to uncover the gifts God has placed for the days ahead, to be guided in your discernment of God's will for this body by the gifts that you've been given in pastoral leadership, yes, but also in each individual here. What you are called to will also be what God has gifted you for, as a body made up of individuals with differing gifts. By taking your place in the work of this body in prophecy or ministry or teaching or encouraging or generosity, diligence, cheerfulness, and more, because I do not believe this is an exhaustive list of the gifts God gives the church. By taking your place and using your gifts, and by valuing each individual and their contribution to the body, we bear witness that our head is in a different game than the world's. And by thinking and acting together, our bodies declare that we all belong to Christ. We are a body having gifts. Let's use them. Finally, this passage is, and always has been, about love. Let love be genuine. Love what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be enthusiastic. Serve the Lord. If I were to give a congregation advice to make the relationship with a new pastor go smoothly, and I am going to give a congregation advice on how to make the relationship with a new pastor go smoothly, it would be this: love one another. Love your pastor, but also love each other. For you know, in church life, there are times of conflict. There are times of miscommunication between congregation and pastor, and between members of the congregation. Steve will fail you, and you will fail him, and you will fail one another. But love covers a multitude of sins. Our roots are planted deeply in the ground of God's love for us. Never forget that. And new growth comes when the people of God live out that love for one another and for others. Let that love grow in you. It's been quite 15 months. And now, as the next chapter unfolds, both in pandemic and in pastoral ministry for this congregation, I believe there is much good that lies ahead. Present your whole selves to God. Be transformed and renewed in body and mind, so together you can discern the will of God for this body. Use the differing gifts you have to build up the body for the work of God. Steve, congregation of Zion Mennonite Church, let love be genuine as you serve the Lord together.
Let's stand again and sing with the 778. Please stand. Will you not be your servant? Let me be as kind to you. With a heart we have no grace to let you be my servant. We are real friends. We are travelers on the road. We are here to have each other on the mountain there. I will hold the cross right for you in the night.
Spirit of truth, bless you all now and forever. Amen. Peace.